Please keep your Bible open to our text in John chapter 8, which we have just read. The world in which we live is full of darkness. There is a lot of religious darkness and a whole lot of moral darkness as well. And all because of these two things, namely sin and Satan. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 we are told, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And then in John chapter 8, verse 44, we find Jesus saying how the people of the world are children of the devil. Verse 44 in John chapter 8 says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and your lust and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And so the world in which we live is full of evil, full of wickedness, full of killing, full of lies, full of darkness. And that's why in this world we need the law. And the law functions as a sword to contain and to restrain sin and wickedness. And God's law is good. However, the law cannot get rid of the darkness and the evil and the sin that is in this world. To get rid of the darkness, we need the light. It is the light that can dispel the darkness. And that's why Jesus said here, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So what did Jesus mean here when he said, "I am the light of the world"? Now, firstly, we find Jesus saying, "I am." And this is a very significant declaration. The Jews would know what this means when Jesus says, "I am." For this was precisely what God said in the burning bush to Moses. What is the name of God? Of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel. Tell them, "I am that I am, the self-existing and the everlasting, ever-existing God, who is spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable." And so here when Jesus said, "I am," he is basically identifying himself with Jehovah, the God of Israel, the God whom the Jews knew very well from the Old Testament. The very God that delivered them out of Egypt. The very God who made a covenant with them. The very God who made them a chosen nation. The very God, the very same God that gave them so graciously the promised land. And this is one of the seven I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. This is the second one. The first one we considered last week in John chapter 6 when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Now this is the second statement. And altogether there are seven I am statements. And this is not by chance. The seven I am statements tell us Jesus is none other than God himself. Jesus is really saying, "I am God, the only living and true God." and the only Savior of the world. I am that I am. And the number 7 in the Bible is significant. The number 7 is the number of God. Number 6 is the number of man. Man was created on the 6th day. But number 7 is the number of God. And so the Holy Spirit, for instance, who is God himself, is described as the 7 spirits. Not that there are 7 individual spirits, but the plural there is a plural of deity and majesty. That the Holy Spirit is none other than God himself. And Jesus, the Son of God, is also the very same God in the Holy Trinity. So Jesus here says, I am God. Jesus, right now on earth, was in the flesh, clothed with flesh and blood, visible. And although he was 100% human, 100% man, at the same time, Jesus is saying, I am also 100% God in one person. In the same person, I am God myself. Jesus is fully God and fully man in one person. And all these I am statements is trying to tell us that Jesus is the only perfect Savior the world can have. He is perfect, he is unique, no one else like him. And that he is the only one who can save us from our sins. Who can be this light that the world needs. And as fully God and fully man, as 100% man, Jesus could die on the cross for our sins. Could shed his precious blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Jesus could be that perfect sacrifice. And he is that perfect sacrifice, not only because he was fully man, it's also because at the same time, he is also fully God. And therefore, Jesus was sinless. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, he was without spot and blemish. And he was not only sinless in nature, he was sinless also in his deeds. So that in all the 33 and a half years of life he lived here on earth, he never sinned for a single moment. And we are not just talking about sinful deeds. Jesus did not sin in deed. He also never sinned in thought and in feelings. He was utterly, utterly, absolutely perfect, righteous, sinless in every way. And that's why the Father in heaven, at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry at the water baptism and near the end of his public ministry at the Mount of Transfiguration, could say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased because he's such a perfectly obedient Son. He obeys all my commandments. He submits fully to my will. And Jesus, by his active obedience, keeping the law so perfectly for us, was doing his salvific work to earn the righteousness that we need to enter into heaven. So if we go to heaven, we enter heaven, it's not because of our righteousness, it's because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how he, as the sinless Lamb of God, paid the penalty, bore our sins on the cross, and saved us. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Savior we have in the I Am, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the great I Am. I am Jehovah, your Savior. And yes, Jesus is the light. He is God. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, we read, God is light. And in him is no darkness, not at all. Very emphatic. So Jesus is the I Am, and he says, I am the light. Now, what does the light here mean? Now, light in the scriptures symbolizes these two things. First, light speaks of the holiness of God. The world is full of darkness, full of evil, full of sin, while God is full of light, full of holiness, full of righteousness. And so there's a contrast here. Jesus is the light, so holy, so righteous. The sinless Lamb of God. And how Jesus must be holy if he is to be our Savior. Indeed, he was and still is. And then light also in the scriptures symbolizes truth, the truth of God. Not just the holiness of God, but also the truth of God. And that's why we have Psalm 43 verse 3 telling us, send out thy light and thy truth. So if you ask the question, what is light? Well, send out thy light. And then the second part of the statement, and thy truth, explains what is that light, which is thy truth. Light is the truth. And Jesus is that light. And he has come to give out that gospel light, the good news that men in a sin so condemned can be saved. And he can lead sinners out of spiritual darkness into his marvelous light. And where is truth found? Well, truth is found in his word. And that's why in John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. The holy scriptures. So Jesus is truth as the living word. And then this written word is also his truth. And this word is the word of Christ. The word of life is the word of Christ, which we have divinely inspired, perfectly preserved for us till today. And Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. The way is a narrow way, and the narrow way leads to the truth that only Jesus saves. If you believe in this truth, that Jesus died for your sins, according to the scriptures, according to the truth, was buried on the third day, rose from the dead, according to the scriptures, according to the truth, thou shalt be saved. This belief and faith in the truth will give you life and life forevermore. The way, the truth, and the life. The straight and narrow way will lead you to the truth. And believing the truth will give you life. And Jesus is that life giver. So Jesus is truth. He teaches truth. And he is altogether truthful. So Jesus is perfectly holy and utterly truthful. He is holiness himself. He is truth himself. And you know, this declaration and statement, I am the light of the world, is beautifully illustrated in the context here of John chapter 8. Now, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, it should be read in the context of the woman caught in adultery, which is found in John chapter 7, verse 53 to chapter 8, verse 11. We call this the pericope adulterer. The passage of the woman taken in adultery, which is part of scripture, which is very scripture itself. And here we have a most wonderful account found in the Gospel of John, demonstrating most clearly and powerfully Jesus is altogether holy and righteous, the perfect judge, and Jesus is also the truth that gives life. So let's look at this wonderful account here in John chapter 8. Now here we find Satan and his agents trying to trap, to trick, and to destroy, in order to destroy the Lord Jesus. So we have here the scribes and the Pharisees in verse 3. John 8 verse 3, we find the scribes and the Pharisees. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? What do you say? Now when they asked this question, it was not a sincere question. There was an ulterior, a very evil motive. God spare us from such students and questioners. Out to find fault and to accuse Jesus. And we know this because in verse 6, it is stated, this they said, tempting him. They wanted to tempt Jesus to sin. They want to trick and to trap him in order to find an occasion to accuse him, you see. So this, they said, tempting him, just like the devil tempted Jesus. Well, the devil now used the scribes and the Pharisees to do the same thing here, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. And now Jesus here was in a very, very difficult position, almost impossible, humanly speaking. If you were in Jesus' position, it would look like you are trapped between the devil and the deep blue sea. Because if Jesus were to respond, and indeed the law of Moses did say and command that such a one, an adulteress, should be stoned. And if Jesus were to say, no, don't stone, he would have broken the law of Moses. And if he had broken the law of Moses, he would have sinned. He would have been disqualified from being our Savior. He would have broken the law. He would not be holy anymore and righteous. And if Jesus were to say, all right, stone her, then it would also go against Jesus, because Jesus came to save, not to condemn, but to save. We know from John 1 verse 17, for the law was given by Moses. Yes, Moses in his law says stone. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Jesus came to save. And if Jesus says, all right, she's condemned, stone her, then the enemies will say, You say you can come to save, you are the resurrection and the life, and all that is false. You can't even save this woman from her sin. You are not what you claim to be. So yes or no, it looks like Jesus is trapped. But no, Jesus is the I Am. He is God. And God is what? All-powerful. God is all-knowing. God is all-seeing. Jesus is all that. And he cannot sin. Jesus is incapable of sinning. Jesus is incapable of breaking his law. And Jesus is definitely very, very powerful to save. So Jesus did not panic here. I think if it were me, I would panic already. Oh, what to do? Jesus just quietly, calmly, right, stooped down and wrote on the ground. So here we read in verse 6, the second part. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. What did Jesus write on the ground? Well, it's not revealed to us in Scripture. So when the Bible is silent, it is good that we be silent as well. But it shows the demeanor of Jesus. He was not disturbed in any way. He was not perturbed. He did not panic. He was very calm and collected. Why? Because he knew all things already. He knew the outcome of this whole thing. How this whole thing will turn against the scribes and the Pharisees. And how this woman would be saved by him. And so now Jesus stooped on the ground, stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. And why did he do that? I think here Jesus was showing grace to the scribes and the Pharisees to give them time to think about their allegation and accusation against this woman. Yes, she was caught in the very act. Yes, she was a sinner, no doubt about it. Yes, she was an adulteress. And you want to stone her. But before you go on, you better examine yourself first. So Jesus, in not doing anything and not replying and responding to them, was basically telling them, you better think twice. No, three times before you continue. You better examine yourselves first. If you want to judge someone, you better make sure you judge righteous judgment. And only God, the perfect judge, can judge righteously. You want to condemn this woman and judge her? Are you so righteous? Are you without sin? Think again. Check yourself. Examine yourself. Jesus wanted to give them a chance. But then they didn't. What did they do? They continued to pester him. So verse 7. So when they continued asking him, badgering him, thinking that, you know, he had no answer, he's trapped. Now answer, respond, so that whichever way, you know, they will accuse Jesus and find fault with him. So they continued asking him. And then he lifted up, the Lord Jesus lifted up himself and said unto them, now he, and I'm sure Jesus must be pointing the accusative finger, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And then again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Again, showing a lot of long-suffering and patience with these scribes and Pharisees. Think again. Are you clean? Are you without sin? Are you not adulterous yourself? I believe Jesus knew these men, their background, what they had done, and Jesus knew that they themselves were as guilty as this adulteress, for they had committed adultery themselves. Jesus knew that. So you who have no sin, you cast the first stone. And if they dared, and then Jesus here stooped down again and wrote on the ground, giving them time to think through. Because if they don't repent, and they don't judge themselves, he will, in the next step, will judge and condemn them. Jesus will expose them one by one for who they are, what they are, and for all their sins. You condemn this woman for adultery and you want to stone her? How about you? This day, this time, did you not do this? You, at this time, at this place, did you also not do this? They were all guilty, actually. And that's why, you know, and I think they began to realize Jesus knew their sins. And they could not run away from his judgment. He is the perfect and the righteous judge, and he knew. He knew the law. He knew all the evidences, and he has all the evidences against them. And if they persist, well, they may stone the woman, but the next moment, Jesus will stone them, will judge them and condemn them for their sins, because they were equally guilty. I think they began to realize this already. And that's why we read in verse 9, "And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience," they were guilty, downright guilty themselves, "went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst." So one by one, these scribes and Pharisees, convicted of their sin, they knew they were guilty, and the Lord Jesus, the perfect and righteous judge, would convict them and condemn them. For he is the lawmaker himself, the lawgiver, the author of the law. He is going to keep the law as well. And he, as the judge of judges, will judge them and condemn them if they are going to proceed. And Jesus had every right to do so. He would expose them altogether. And so they realized, they got afraid, they were convicted. And then one by one, from the eldest to the youngest, they all left. Like beaten dogs with a tail between their legs, they all scamper away. You see how this demonstrates so powerfully. Jesus is the light of the world. These scribes and Pharisees were full of darkness, and Jesus, the light, shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot resist the light. And the light overcomes the darkness, and they came to accuse Jesus. They became the accused, the condemned, and they had to leave. Well, you see the power of the Lord Jesus here. Now, the woman, now alone in his midst, what is Jesus going to do? Of course, Jesus had every right to execute judgment because she had sinned. But you know, God is also merciful and forgiving. And Jesus had come graciously with good news to save. And I believe this woman, after seeing all these things that had transpired, how Jesus dealt with the scribes and the Pharisees, must have realized Jesus is no ordinary person. This is God. This is Savior. And I believe that's why, you know, when Jesus asked her, when Jesus had lifted up himself, verse 10, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." Very meekly and humbly, she said, "No man, Lord, Lord." And this word, Lord, kurios, speaks of God who is powerful, almighty and powerful, and can save. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, same word here, and believe in our heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And she confessed Jesus here as Lord. The scribes and the Pharisees called him Master, Teacher. Here is a more exalted title she gave to Jesus. Lord. I believe here Jesus also knew her heart. She was repentant. She had confessed him. She wanted salvation. She needed to be saved. And yes, that's what I came to do. I can save you. And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin some more." No, Jesus never said that. That's why I believe this whole account are the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not some spurious account that was put in the scriptures, as some people may say. And the very fact that here you find such a perfect and righteous judge, and the most merciful, gracious and wonderful, forgiving Savior and Lord Jesus, who can save, and told this woman, "I don't condemn thee, go and sin no more. Sin no more." These are righteous words. These are words of salvation. And Jesus truly demonstrated that he's not only perfect and righteous in his judgment, he's powerful and merciful to save sinners. And so no matter how great your sin may be, dear friends, Jesus is powerful to save you. And Jesus wants to save you. If you will humble yourself and meekly come before him, "Lord, I've sinned. Have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, save me." And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is able to save. And he's powerful to save. And that's why the very next moment in verse 12, Jesus used this whole episode to teach this important truth about himself. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I pray we have this light in our life, in our minds, in our hearts, our whole being are filled with this light. We're living in a very dark world, many potholes, many cliffs and dangerous places. And if we want to protect ourselves from spiritual harm and danger, we need the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Jesus, the light of the world. We need the gospel light. We need the light of his truth. And I pray we will grow in the light of the Lord Jesus and in it, and his word, so that we may live a successful, victorious life for him until he returns. And may we be the salt and the light of the world God meant us to be. And we can only do this if we have Jesus, the light of the world, in our life. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy truth, which is so wonderful. And how we thank thee for a most marvelous and wonderful Savior we have. How we glorify him, how we worship him, how we adore him, and how we want to serve him. So Lord, we pray that you would grant us more and more light in our life, in our understanding of thee, to know thee truly and fully through the Holy Scriptures that thou hast given unto us, that we may shine as lights in the world, that people may be drawn to this light to know thy saving grace and be saved from their sins, just like this woman. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.